Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're actually taking a cue from you guys, from you listeners. You requested a deep dive into The Art of Saying No, and we are ready to explore this book together. I mean, we've all been there, right? That feeling of wanting to help, wanting to say yes, but also needing to protect our time and energy. So how do we strike that balance? Well, this book dives right into the power of know how it connects to our priorities and, you know, those hidden costs of always saying yes. And it even gives us some practical tips for setting boundaries, which we know can be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. And what's so interesting is that for many people, the real struggle isn't about knowing when to say no. It's the why that trips them up. And the psychology behind it is fascinating. It often comes down to like people pleasing, that fear of disappointing others, maybe even like a deep-seated need for validation.
That makes so much sense. And you know, reading this, the book's core message really struck a chord with me. It's not about being negative. It's not about shutting people out. It's about empowering ourselves to make conscious choices about where our time and energy go.
Exactly. And to do that effectively, we need to have a crystal clear understanding of our priorities.
Mm.
I would even encourage you to think about this right now. What are your top three goals for the year? What values are non-negotiable for you? Because those answers are your compass for deciding when to say yes and when that powerful no is in order.
You know, one of the things I found really surprising in reading this book was how detrimental constantly saying yes can actually be. I mean, we all know it leads to burnout, right?
Yeah.
But the book goes deeper, highlighting the physical and mental exhaustion that can come with it.
And it's not just feeling tired. You know, overcommitting can actually lead to a decline in our focus and our productivity. Think about it. If you're constantly juggling too many things, how can you possibly give your best to any of them?
Right. It's like spreading yourself so thin that you end up with nothing left for the things that really matter. And the book even suggests that it can lead to resentment, which seems counterintuitive because you're trying to please people, but then you end up feeling resentful towards them.
It's this vicious cycle, right? Fueled by that people-pleasing tendency. We crave validation, so we say yes, even when it's detrimental to our well-being. Mm. And the irony is, it can actually damage those very relationships that we're trying to protect.
And the book had this one anecdote that really brought this home for me. It was about this woman who kept saying yes to every volunteer request at her child's school. And she ended up so stressed and overwhelmed that she like started snapping at her kids and she was neglecting her work. It was just like, uh-oh.
It's a classic example of how good intentions can backfire when we don't set healthy boundaries. Because boundaries aren't about being selfish. They're about protecting our well-being so we can show up as our best selves, you know, in all areas of life.
And, you know, something that this book really emphasizes, and it kind of goes hand in hand with that, is that those boundaries, those healthy boundaries, require clear communication and consistent enforcement. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing practice of honoring our limits and communicating them effectively.
Think of it this way. Like, if you constantly overdraw your bank account, eventually you end up in financial trouble, right? It's the same with our time and energy. We need to be mindful of our resources and make conscious deposits into our well-being account through self-care and boundary setting.
So how do we actually get better at saying no without feeling like we're letting people down or damaging relationships? I mean, that fear of disappointment is real.
That's where those practical tips from the book come in. It encourages us to be direct but respectful, offering alternatives when possible. So for example, instead of a flat-out no to a colleague's request, you might say something like, I'm swamped this week, but I could possibly take a look at it next Monday.
I love that. It's assertive but not dismissive, and it shows that you're willing to help, just not at the expense of your own sanity.
Exactly. And, you know, this approach can be applied to various situations, from social invitations to family requests. It's about finding that sweet spot between honoring your own needs and maintaining those important connections.
You know, there was this one point in the book that really kind of shifted my whole perspective. It said that each time we say no to something that doesn't align with our values or goals, we're actually creating space to say a more powerful yes to something that does.
That's such a great way to reframe it. Because it's not about deprivation. It's about aligning our actions with our aspirations.
Right. And that leads us to another important aspect, which is self-care. The book really emphasizes how crucial it is to prioritize our well-being as part of this saying no journey.
Because, you know, when we feel depleted and resentful, we're more likely to cave to pressure and say yes when we really want to say no. But when we're taking care of ourselves, whether it's through exercise, meditation, or creative pursuits, we're more grounded and confident in our ability to set those boundaries.
It's like filling up your own cup so you have something to give, both to yourself and to others.
Absolutely. And speaking of giving, the book actually devotes a whole chapter to navigating those tricky scenarios where saying no can feel especially challenging, like dealing with workplace demands, social pressures, family expectations, and even those volunteer opportunities that pull at our heartstrings.
Ooh, that's where it gets really interesting. I'm sure our listener is eager to hear how to tackle those specific situations. So let's dive into those in our next segment.
Okay, so let's unpack those scenarios where saying no can feel especially tricky. The book dives into some common situations that I think many of us face. And we'll start with those workplace requests, you know, those moments when your boss or colleague asks you for something that feels outside your responsibilities, or maybe you're just completely swamped.
Oh yeah, I think we've all been there. It's that feeling of obligation, like you have to say yes, out of fear of, you know, seeming uncooperative or even worse, risking your job.
Right. And this is where clear communication and like assertive yet respectful language is key. Instead of a flat out no, the book suggests phrases like, I'm currently at capacity with projects, but I could possibly take a look at it next week. Or perhaps colleague's name would be a good person to ask, as they have more expertise in that area.
I love those. It shows that you're not just shutting down the request, but you're also respecting your own workload and boundaries.
Exactly. And then we move on to those landmines we call social invitations. I mean, we all want to maintain friendships and have fun, but sometimes those invites just don't align with our energy levels or priorities.
Oh, so true. I am definitely guilty of saying yes to social events out of FOMO, even when I know I'd rather be home, you know, recharging, and then I just end up feeling drained and resentful.
And that's where remembering the power of a simple no is so essential. The book reminds us that we don't need elaborate excuses to decline an invitation. A straightforward, thank you so much for inviting me, but I can't make it this time, is perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, less is more in these situations, right?
Absolutely. And this leads us to family expectations, which can be, I think, the most emotionally charged of all. We naturally want to please our loved ones, but sometimes those requests can feel, you know, overwhelming or even disrespectful of our boundaries.
It's like that pressure to attend every family gathering or conform to certain traditions, even when it doesn't feel right for us.
Right. The book really highlights open and honest communication as the key to navigating these situations. Calmly explaining your limits and focusing on your need for self-care can work wonders. You might say something like, I love spending time with you all, but I also need some time to recharge. I'm going to take a walk after dinner. Or, I'm happy to help with setting up, but I won't be able to stay for the entire event.
Yeah, it's about finding that balance between honoring family connections and honoring your own needs.
Exactly. Now, let's turn to volunteer opportunities. These can be a bit tricky because, you know, while the intentions are good, it's easy to overcommit, especially for people who naturally gravitate towards helping others.
I can see that. It's that feeling of wanting to make a difference. But we also have to be realistic about our time and our capacity.
Right. So the book encourages us to evaluate volunteer requests thoughtfully, you know?
Yeah.
Like, ask yourself, does this opportunity truly align with my values and interests? Can I commit to this without sacrificing other priorities?
It's about choosing the causes that resonate most deeply and saying no to the ones that would spread us too thin.
Precisely. And, you know, in all these scenarios, I think the underlying message is that prioritizing yourself is not selfish. Saying no doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you a responsible steward of your own well-being.
It reminds me of what we talked about earlier, that a well-placed no is actually a form of self-care. And it can create space for those more authentic and fulfilling yeses in our lives.
Exactly. Now, there's one more crucial aspect the book addresses. And it's not just about, like, mastering the art of saying no. It's about having the confidence to, like, stick to your boundaries and not crumble under pressure.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's about setting those boundaries and then, you know, holding firm.
Exactly. You know, the book points out that when we start saying no more often, it can take time for the people in our lives to adjust. I mean, they might be used to us always saying yes, and suddenly we're changing the dynamic, right?
Right. It's like retraining everyone around us to respect our limits.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And the book emphasizes clear communication and consistency. When we're consistent with our boundaries, people will eventually learn that our no means no.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a game changer in terms of, you know, reducing guilt trips and those subtle pressures we often face.
But I imagine that takes a lot of courage and, well, practice.
It definitely does. Mm-hmm. And luckily, the book provides some helpful advice for those moments when someone pushes back against our no.
Yeah.
It introduces what it calls the broken record technique.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What exactly is the broken record technique?
Well, it's all about repeating your no calmly and firmly, without, like, getting drawn into lengthy explanations or justifications.
Oh, I love that. Short, sweet, and to the point.
Exactly. It's about staying grounded in your decision and not letting yourself get swayed by, like, someone else's persuasive tactics or emotional appeals.
So it's like, a gentle but firm no on
Yeah,
repeat.
yes, precisely. And the book emphasizes that brevity is key. You might say, "I understand you're disappointed, but my answer is still no." Or, "I've already explained my reasons and I'm sticking with my decision."
It's about staying true to yourself and your boundaries, even when it feels uncomfortable.
Exactly. And remember, consistency is crucial. If we give in every time someone pushes back, they learn that our no isn't really a no, and then the cycle just continues.
Right. It's about retraining ourselves and those around us to respect our limits.
Absolutely. Now, the book also acknowledges that sometimes a more compassionate approach might be needed, especially with, like, close family or friends.
That makes sense. So it's about finding that balance between firmness and empathy.
Yes. So instead of just repeating the no, you might acknowledge their feelings and reiterate your boundaries. You could say something like, "I know this isn't what you wanted to hear, and I'm sorry if you're disappointed, but I really need to prioritize reason for saying no right now."
Yeah, it's about validating their feelings without giving in to the pressure.
Right. And sometimes offering a small alternative can help soften the no. For example, if a friend is asking you to commit to a weekly event, that you just don't have the bandwidth for, you could say, "I can't make it every week, but I'd love to join you once a month." Or, "How about we grab coffee next week instead?"
It's those little compromises that can make a big difference in maintaining relationships while still honoring our boundary.
Exactly. And remember, teaching others to respect our no is an ongoing process. It takes patience, practice, and a willingness to stand firm in our decisions, even when it feels challenging.
Yeah, it's an investment in ourselves and our well-being, really. So, what are some of those long-term benefits of saying no? Because I think that's what motivates people to make this shift.
Well, the book highlights some pretty powerful long-term benefits, and we'll dive into those right after. Well, we'll dive into those right now.
I'm really curious to hear about those long-term benefits. Yeah. It's one thing to understand the concept of saying no, but like seeing those positive outcomes can really solidify, I think, the motivation to make that shift.
Absolutely. And the book really emphasizes that this isn't just about, momentary relief from feeling overwhelmed, but about actually cultivating a life that feels more aligned and fulfilling, in the long run. And one of the most significant benefits it highlights is a reduced stress and improved mental well-being.
That makes total sense. I mean, when you're not constantly overcommitting and stretching yourself so thin, you have more time and energy for self-care, for those activities that truly nourish your soul. It's like giving yourself permission to breathe and just be without that constant pressure to, do, do, do.
Exactly. And along with that comes a boost in, like, productivity and focus. When you're clear about your priorities and you're saying no to those distractions, you can actually channel your energy into, the tasks and projects that really matter. It's like eliminating all that mental clutter so you can laser in on what's important.
I love that. It's almost like saying no becomes the superpower that unlocks your ability to do your best work and be more present, in other areas of your life.
I love that analogy. And the book also highlights, the positive ripple effect this can have on our relationships.
Right.
When we set healthy boundaries, we're actually teaching others to respect our time and energy, which can lead to, more balanced and fulfilling connections.
It reminds me of that saying, you can't pour from an empty cup. When you take care of yourself, you're better equipped to, show up for others in a more genuine and sustainable way.
Absolutely. And then, perhaps most importantly, the book emphasizes the sense of, like, personal empowerment. That comes with saying no. When you realize you have the right to choose how you spend your time and energy, it's incredibly liberating.
It's like taking back control of your life. You're no longer at the mercy of everyone else's, demands and expectations.
Exactly. You become the architect of your own experience, designing a life that reflects your values and your aspirations. And that's where the book leaves us with this really beautiful message. Saying no is not a rejection of others. It's an affirmation of your own worth and priorities. It's about honoring yourself as much as you honor the people in your life.
Wow, what a powerful shift in perspective. It's not about, shutting people out. It's about creating space for what truly matters. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm curious, was there anything from the book that particularly resonated with you?
You know, what really stuck with me was this idea that learning to say no is a journey, not a destination. It's not about achieving like some perfect state of boundary-setting mastery, but about embracing that ongoing process of, self-discovery and refinement.
I love that. It takes the pressure off, doesn't it? We're all works in progress, constantly learning and evolving in our ability to set those healthy boundaries.
Exactly. And the book encourages us to be patient with ourselves, to celebrate our successes, and to view any, slip-ups as opportunities for learning and growth.
So it's about progress, not perfection. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, and I think we've given our listener plenty to think about. Before we sign off, do you have a final, thought-provoking question to leave them with?
Here's one. If you could say no to just one thing that's draining your time and energy right now, what would it be? And what would you say yes to instead?
Ooh, that's such a great question to ponder. It really encourages us to, take a look at our lives and see where we might be giving away our power.
And I hope it inspires our listeners to take even just one small step towards creating a more balanced and fulfilling life, a life where they feel empowered to say yes to the things that truly light them up and no to the things that, dim their shine.
Beautifully said. And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the art of saying no. We hope you found it insightful and inspiring, and maybe even a little bit empowering. Remember, saying no is a skill, and like any skill, it takes practice. So be patient with yourselves, start small, and celebrate every step you take towards creating a life that reflects your truest priorities. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time for another fascinating exploration. Until then, keep diving deep and keep learning.